must come up with funny saying.
Hey there, folks over at MTGCast.com and CommanderCast.com. It's time for another episode of Rivals Duel, the show where Noel Clausen is totally lucid and Eric Bonvy is hopped up on pain pills. How are you doing, Noel?
I'm doing all right, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
For those of you who don't know, it's, I get to win the argument today.
It's Eric is dopey o'clock.
Yeah.
On the day of...
Yeah, pretty much. Today is actually, we are recording this on December 14th. That took me a really long time to get that date out. This will also be our last recording of the year.
Oh, yes, it will, won't it? Because the next recording will be after Christmas.
This is going to wrap up the season of 2015. We are actually taking an extra week off because our next one is supposed to come out on New Year's Day, which means I have to try to record during Christmas week, and let's be honest, it's not going to happen.
Yes.
So, we are do not expecting that. We will be back on January 8th, so enjoy your extra holiday. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Joyous Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating the end of this year, have a blessed one of those. From us here at Rivals Duel.
Yeah, and I don't have a life, so I will spend that Christmas week prepping all the Let's Builds that we apparently have to do in the new year.
Yes, we have.
Gifts to our fans.
Yeah. 2015 will be the year of the Let's Build, but, we actually don't have any listener mail today. That's why we had a chance to talk about all this stuff.
There's that.
So we might as well start with fun stories. Do you have any, Eric?
Fun stories? This is the first time one of us has ever slept through when we were supposed to record Rivals Duel.
This is true.
The reason... Other than that, I don't think I have any new fun stories.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, Eric is highly medicated this episode, so it should be really fun.
Don't poke the drugged uncle. That's not cool. I learned that the first trip to the hospital.
I get to win. Today I feel like I could literally just say here and say random words, and Eric would not be able to come back from that.
Don't say words. Communicate to me in beeps.
Use bright flashy lights.
God, those hurt too.
So I actually have one. I actually put together the Lord of Tressorhorn deck.
Yeah, the Eric's Punishment deck.
Yeah, that deck was actually super fun, by the way.
Really?
People look at you and just go, what are you doing? And my my playgroup respects me enough to go, you're up to something.
Okay.
What are you up to? And then turns out, just, the correct answer is play Pandemonium.
Oh, yeah, no, play Pandemonium is the way to win with that deck, I feel.
Yeah, that card's a rockstar in that deck, and it was funny because... I could see it was one of those things where somebody had out Underworld Dreams and Forced Fruition.
Okay.
So every spell you cast would draw 7 cards and lose you 7 life. Well,
the person
in front of me who has... I have Nerve's Disc up and ready to go, and I'm going to kill it before I draw a million cards.
Yeah.
The person in front of me drives his life down to 6, and then casts Repay in Kind.
Oh, okay.
So everyone goes from the 40 life... This is a 7-player game, too, so it's one of those where no one's going anywhere.
Yeah. Everyone goes from 40 to nothing?
Yeah, 40 to 6. And I have Pandemonium in my hand.
And this is when you start playing Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe in your head, deciding who gets to die first?
Oh no, you pick out the people with the biggest threat on the table. If you have mountains in your deck, you are dead.
Yeah, I'm not getting bolted to death. That's not gonna happen. Yeah. I'm gonna kill you, and then I'm gonna kill you, and then I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah. It was one of those, at that point it was late enough in the game, it was cast Lord of Tressorhorn, deal damage, sack some dudes, pay, I think I must have been at 8 because I went to 6, cast a Phyrexian Metamorph as a copy of Lord of Tressorhorn, go to 4, deal 10 to another player, sacrifice the real Lord of Tressorhorn, next turn recast the real Lord of Tressorhorn. So that deck is super sweet, actually. Like, it's super fun, it's by no means powerful, it's by no means crazy good.
It's
fun.
It's your joke deck. It's the one that you pull out, and it's good enough that it's not unfun to play.
Yeah, this is really happening. Okay.
Awesome. However, in other news, we do have a new product announcement. Modern Masters 2015 got announced.
Yes, Modern Masters 2, back in the habit. Also exciting with that is GP Las Vegas 2015.
Yep.
Crazy. 10,000 people expected that GP.
Yeah, that's a lot of nerd sweat.
And they've booked the convention center. If you're a judge, check out the comp, because Insane Comp is insane.
Oh, cool.
If you're not a judge, you know, consider going to this event, because this will be just a huge, like, I know the people running it, like, I've worked for them before, they're great at what they do, they're some of the best, and one of the people I explicitly trust with this as an event, this is going to be a great event. Consider coming to it. I'm not being paid by Channel Fireball to say all this. I honestly think this event's going to be huge, and something to be a part of. They've already spoiled Emrakul in it, but that doesn't matter to EDH players.
Yeah, no. I am thinking that the big thing is going to be Zendikar Fetchlands.
I don't know, because Zendikar Fetchlands is something they could reprint in Standard.
Yeah, it is something that they could reprint in Standard. I just don't know that they're going to do it.
We saw that about the Onslaught fetches for a lot of years, too.
Yeah, but... Yeah, okay. Sure.
Also, the price of Zendikar fetches has dropped to a quarter of what they were a couple months ago.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, like an $80 Misty Rainforest is now a $30 Misty Rainforest, so...
That's great. That's exactly what I hoped was going to happen.
Yeah, so for everyone who had a big pile of them is sad because their pile halved in value, but on the other hand...
But on the other hand, we don't care what those hoarders think.
Yep. This is not a hashtag MTG finance.
Alrighty, so I think we're going straight into our episode content today, because since we're going to be leading off into the holidays, we thought we'd have a nice relaxed episode and talked about that our top 10 of the original Commander product that Noel has been pushing for.
That was a beautiful way to put. I could drink a bottle of NyQuil and beat Eric at an argument right now, so we're picking something that's kind of a soft pitch.
Yeah, no, the we are definitely not going to be taxing ourselves to figure out cool new deck ideas or argue over what strategies are more powerful. This is going to be the original top 10 new commanders, and we're not arguing for power level, because everyone already knows. We've played enough games with these generals to know where each one sits in terms of power level in relation to the other. We know which ones are overpowered, we know which ones are underpowered, and all that stuff. This is me and Noel's personal top 10 list for whatever criteria we decide, and we're going to be arguing why each one belongs at the spot we put it on the list.
Yeah, so again, these are the original Commander precons, which it's funny, looking at these, compared to the ones that came out last year, these ones are way better as far as doing cool things, as seeing stuff, you know. There's a couple of the 2013 commanders that still see play. Where of this list, I think I still see probably 5 to 7 of these regularly.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that they are the enemy colors helps that a bit, and the fact that the new enemy color set is still fairly new, Khans of Tarkir is still fairly new, and people aren't quite all sorted out on those new generals yet. But definitely, I think that when Wizards first went into Commander, we can see that they clearly hit the ground running. They nailed a lot of really good lines.
Yeah. You can also, yeah, it's also, you know, it's easy to say it because the competition is less dense at these levels too. Like,
oh yeah.
There's four Jeskai legends.
Like, exactly.
So it of course I'm going to see more of these.
Exactly. You're more likely to see any particular Jeskai general than any particular Naya general. That being said, I'm not gonna sell the last year short, because they last year did still print some generals that fill in specific holes. Nekusar still sees a lot of play, much to Noel's undying rage.
Can we go a whole episode without bringing him up?
not if I can help it. But Nekusar was designed to fill a specific strategy hole that was kind of missing in Commander, and I think that in the original 2013 there was a lot more of that.
Sure. Fair enough. So like I said, this is not power level, this is not which one is objectively best. If we ran a tournament with 10 of these decks, these are not the people who would win, but they're the ones we like the best.
for whatever reasons, make us like them the best. And if you are bummed out listening to this because you're like, oh, it's a set review, I'm not going to get to hear an argument today, there will be plenty of arguing, I assure you.
I am fairly certain we will get to number 9 before Eric and I have one that is at least 5 points apart.
Oh, guaranteed. Alright, so let's start off with number 10. Noel, who did you put in dead last on your list?
Okay, now, 50-50 that you have this one last too.
Okay.
I have Tariel, Reckoner of Souls.
I also have Tariel, Reckoner of Souls.
and it makes me sad, because I wanted this card to be good. This card seems cool. Like, it seems like it does something neat. A guy at random out of an opponent's graveyard. I can selectively graveyard filter his deck so that he only got the creature I want. But it just costs so much.
Yep. You hit the nail on the head with that one. It is... The reason Tariel is at number 10 is not because I think it's objectively... although it probably is objectively the worst of the generals. The reason it lands number 10, though, is because Tariel personally offended me. Because I really wanted to love Tariel, and I have tried so many times to love Tariel, and she just won't let me do it. She's just not good.
She costs 7 or 8.
I believe she costs 7. She costs too much, is the right answer.
Yeah. Like, if she had haste, I could get on that train, because at least then you could reanimate right away.
Absolutely.
And if she always brings friends to the party, she's okay.
Yep.
But
nope.
She has to turn sideways.
Her mana cost is too expensive for her abilities, and her abilities would be really cool on something with a cheaper mana. If you took this exact same card and made it cost 6 instead of 7, it might see play.
Might.
The art on it is so gorgeous, too.
It is. It's cool art.
Really cool art with this female Angel of Death in, like, battle art, and not, like, normal Magic the Gathering. This is not a chroma with the belly shirt. This is, like, battle armor with a capital B and A, and she's holding a huge axe instead of a scythe. She just looks so cool, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I wish this card worked.
The number 10 slot is the slot of regrets for us, I think.
Yeah. All right, go ahead and list your number 9 first.
My number 9 is Damia, Sage of Stone. And let's hear what yours is before I get into why Damia should be number 9.
No, you should do yours first, because you're going to go on this tirade when I tell you my number 9.
Okay.
I agree, Damia is my number 8. Like, I'm right with you, but there's one that I do not like even less than Damia.
Okay. I think Damia's... I think that she's got a lot of problems the same as Tariel. She's overcosted. The way that she draws you back up would kind of lend yourself to a empty your hand, like full aggro, blow your entire hand, then play her and let her refill your hand kind of thing. But these are not the strategies, or these are not the colors for that kind of strategy. So it just lends itself to this weird control-y thing where you only get advantage if you have less than 7 cards, but control decks want to be, like, topped up on as many cards as possible, and in Commander, there's so many ways to have more than 7 cards, so there's no real reason to use Damia. I think that, like, as a body, she's got Death Touch? I mean, I get it because she's a Gorgon, but as a, like, creature on the board, she's utterly unremarkable. And I'm just bored by her. Like, I look at this card, I don't feel any kind of... you look at this card and you think, oh, this is a decent, solid card for your first general in these colors, when you just want to be able to play these colors, and that's all it is. And then you play her, and I don't even think she's that.
Now, I will say this, is when these came out, this was definitely your way to play the 3, quote-unquote, best colors in Commander.
Sure.
Like, this was the package of how to play removal, ramp, and counter.
Mm-hmm.
And really, at the time, your only other options were the Planar Chaos Dragon or the other one that goes in this set. So I can see where she's an option if you didn't want to play Mimeoplasm. But
and she still is a very valid option in terms of the fact that she's not graveyard centric like the Khan's general is.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she's just got like if Tariel was number 10 because she hurt me, Damia's number 9 because she put me to friggin' sleep. Like, just the Tariel's the girl you took out on a date and she threw a drink at you and made a scene in front of the whole restaurant. Damia's the one who you like, the night just would not stop soon enough, and you just kept hearing her talk. She's just boring to me.
All right, let this commence, because I know I'm going to draw hate for this, but I find this deck incredibly boring.
Okay.
It is only one deck.
Okay.
My number 9 is Colony of the Vast.
Oh! You're so lucky I'm curbing my swearing. There's so many things I want to call you right now.
Okay, and here's my issue, is there's only one Kalia deck, and it's boring.
Okay. If you find it boring, I can understand why you wouldn't like the one Kalia deck.
If you say my general is Kalia, and I built it with some reasonable acumen of the format, I can name 40 of the cards in your deck.
Yeah, that's fair.
And here's the thing, is there's other ones who fall into those same sins. Like, those are going to come up here in a minute, and you're going to call me a giant hypocrite when we get higher up.
Okay.
But at least with some of the other ones that do that, what they do is interesting. Kalia either wins right away, and game is over, or gets to go out, do her thing, get stopped, and do nothing the rest of the time.
All right.
The deck is boring.
I will say that I understand why you're wrong, and that I can see why you approach it that way, because Kalia is definitely not your kind of deck. I would, like, just from what I understand of how you play, I can see why an all-in on the general aggro strategy that dumps, like, giant, stupid, beefy creatures onto the board wouldn't be your kind of thing, but I think that you're crazy pants.
it's boring, and then there's also it's very easy to justify bad behavior via flavor in this one. Like, whoever thinks Master of Cruelties in Nicalia is fun is wrong.
Okay.
Like, that one's not even up for debate. Like,
I will say that I love Master of Cruelties in Kalia because I love Master of Cruelties, the card, and a deck that makes that card awesome and makes me able to play it, I am going to approve of. Because I try and put Master of Cruelties in every card deck I've ever made with Rakdos in it.
Okay.
First Strike and Death Touch are the two best words to be put on a single card.
I agree, except for the whole make your life one. Like, my big issue with that is if you swing with Kalia and then drop Master of Cruelties, they die.
I understand that too, but keep in mind that I love Purphoros and Prosh because I like shotgun decks that are able to take an opponent from 40 to 0 before they even knew what happened. So I might have more of an appreciation for a card that sets my opponent's life at 1.
Okay, there's no way we are going to come together on this. Let's move on.
Okay, yes.
My number 8 I already said was Damia. For all mine, the same reasons.
Mine is Riku, the multicolored elf.
Wow, okay, go for it.
Yeah, I thought that one would piss you off.
Okay.
Riku, to me, ends up at number 8 because he is a value engine and little else. Yeah, like, he's used to generate value in those colors, just generic value and a generic general again. And I think that he would be higher up on the list if Maelstrom Wanderer hadn't been printed and did the exact same job much, much better.
Okay, I will admit, I am going at this list like Maelstrom Wanderer does not exist.
Okay, well, I'm going at this list like we live in the world that we live in, and reality is around us, and Maelstrom Wanderer is part of that reality.
Like, I am ranking these 10 based on these 10, so...
Okay.
Like, so there could be some discrepancy there, because I agree I would probably, where I have Riku is lower if I have to go into the rest of the world.
I will say that when we get a little higher up in my list, you're going to see that what generals have been printed since this product seriously affected my list.
Okay.
A lot of cards are lower because I think there's better generals in the colors, and a lot of cards are higher because they have yet to print something that does the same job better.
Okay, fair enough. And I will say I have Riku very highly, assuming these are the only 10 generals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
So our list will skew a little bit because I have Riku way higher.
Yeah, that's fine. But I think that, like, at the time that he came out, Riku was alright. Again, based primarily on the fact that he was the only game in town. I still think he's way too much of an investment in mana, and that body isn't very survivable. I think the Riku deck is kind of boring, and I think it takes way, way, way too long to really do anything. And, it also doesn't help that I've played a lot of whiny Riku players, because Riku's a much more, because you need, it's a value engine based deck that still relies on having its general out, it's a pretty easy strategy to, disrupt, intentionally or accidentally. And if you mess with, and Riku players have a tendency to complain a bit more because of how often their strategy has been disrupted.
Fair enough. I like Riku for a lot of different reasons, but I'll get into those later.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that's another one that we're way off on.
Okay.
So now I think we're on to number 7, which is your turn.
My number 7 is Riku's buddy in this product, Animar.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is another one where I'm going to have to stress that this list is not based on power level. If the list was based on power level, Animar would probably belong in the top 5. But Animar is a general to me that never lived up to its potential. Animar is a really, really cool looking general on paper, because you look at the abilities and they're super solid and it dodges a bunch of removal and it makes your stuff cheaper and you can cast them. Artifacts for free, or Eldrazi for free, or you can try and do some weirdness with morph creatures, especially now that Khons is out. But Animar has always been a deck to me that is at home and at its best in the theory crafting phase, and when you actually get it out on the table, is not nearly as good as you'd hoped. There's ones that go really hard into the combo, but I don't feel like they're any better, like any stronger or any more interesting than other decks that go hard into the combo, any other deck that can go hard into any kind of combo. I don't feel like Animar stands out in any way, and then when you try to do the flavor stuff with him, I feel like he just falls apart.
I definitely agree with the flavor part, and I agree combo Animar is also really boring. I like the niche things you can do with Animar. I think Animar plus a million morphs is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's you know, might be boring, but it's funny.
It
might not be good, but it's fun.
That's the other thing, is that, okay. Remember how we talked about how Lord of Tresorhorn was fun and goofy, but it worked well enough that you can still play it as a deck? To me, the goofy Animar just doesn't work as a deck. And that's my biggest problem. Is that if it formed a subpar deck that was still fun to play, I'd be cool with it, but it doesn't, in my opinion. And I can understand that some people who are like, who play during Onslaught, or who just have a real, real love for the morph mechanic, pretending their creatures are little ninjas hiding. I can understand why that would excite them a bit more, but it just doesn't work for me. For me, the only thing cool to me about Animar is the fact that it makes Cloudstone Curio really good, and the fact that he's a combo general that could potentially be really good with as a Voltron thing. But Marath has kind of replaced that, in my opinion, so I don't really need him anymore.
Willbender. The morph creature is always Willbender.
Animar morph deck. An entire board of Willbenders.
Pretty much. Okay, so let's go. My number 7... I will not apologize for this one. Ruhana the Fomores is my number 7.
Oh, you're putting Ruhan at 7 and you refuse to apologize?
I will not apologize to Ruhan.
Ruhan's gonna randomly smash you in the kneecap.
And see, that's my problem with Ruhan.
Okay, what's your problem with Ruhan?
Is that, well, yes, it's sweet. He's a 3-hit general. If it weren't for the random bit.
Oh, I see, okay.
I don't even care about the attacks of Turny Table. Like, that's what's supposed to happen. It's Ruhan.
But you don't like not being able to make the tactical decision.
Well, I hate that if there's a player who, like, let's say it's a combo player. Or something like mm-hmm. that, who is darn near dead on board and just being hit aggressively.
Yeah.
I can't control who, the inability to control that.
Okay.
I hate having a giant beater that I can't use the way I want to.
Alright, that's fair.
So that's my don't mess with the Ruhan.
It's fine, we get it. Noel is a Vulcan, and he doesn't like loss of control, and is allergic to things that are fun.
No, Kalia's not fun.
All right.
You heard it here first, folks. Noel Clausen. Kalia is not. All right.
So we're moving up to number 6 now. The last of the bottom 5. Who's going to go first? Is this going
to
be me?
I think it's my turn to go first.
All right,
let's
hear it.
And this is one that we're into this middle range where it's like, like, you could argue that 6 through 4 for me could kind of move around a little bit.
Okay.
But my 6 is the Mimeoplasm.
Okay. let's hear why Mimeoplasm lands at 6.
I like what Mimeoplasm does. I think it's neat. I just think that the other things that are above it are more interesting. Like, don't get me wrong, there are cool Mimeoplasm decks, but ultimately it's self-mill Big Dude Smash.
Okay.
Or self-mill Infecti Dude Smash. Which, by the way, the Infecti Mimeoplasm deck is queued exactly once.
I don't know about that. Depends on who you're pointing it at. I disagree on the quality of Mimeoplasm, which I'll get into when we get up later. But, like, Mimeoplasm is also a really awesome reanimator general in your favorite colors.
I've never claimed that Soul Tide was mine.
In your quote-unquote best colors.
In fairness, I said in 2011 when these came out,
okay,
there was a lot of hate against Red and White and Commander.
Okay.
I remember playing those days, and there was a lot of... You always played at least green, black, or blue, so your deck did something, because white and red were the ones that were support colors and or unplayable.
Yeah, I remember those days, too. I played an Isamaru deck and smoked people with it just to be spiteful of their hatred of white.
I played Mono Red Jaya Ballard during that period for much the same reason.
Nice! But, okay, so you just... It's not that you think Mimeoplasm is bad, he just doesn't push your particular buttons?
He's not as fun as the top 5 I have on here.
Okay. Alright, I'm gonna get to my number 6, and my number 6 is Gave.
Okay, we're not that far off.
Gave to me is not, I don't hate Gave the way a lot of people do. And in fact I kinda like that there's a general that just happens to accidentally combo with every card that has ever been printed. I think that's kind of on its own hilarious. But, he's kind of a one-trick pony. He's a little bit more boring than some of the other cards. And it's, again, one of those things that if you just take another deck that does a bunch of combos, like, Gave combos a lot easier than other decks, but if you just take another deck that's general-centric, design it to combo, like, all around it, and you put it beside the Gave combo deck, the differences are going to be pretty sparse. It's, you know, control, setup, combo, and it's Gave doesn't bring anything that makes it super special to the table. He's not, like, specifically doing it with artifacts. He's doing it with, like, tokens and sacrifice effects, which is the easiest thing to combo off with. He's doing it in really solid colors. I thought about making a Gave aggro deck to try and kick the meta up a bit, but, meh. His art's cool. He's a Spore man. That's kind of a neat thing. But, like, I'm not into him enough to be willing to play the big Goomba.
That's kind of my take on Gave as well, is that it's just, he's not that, if I want to play tokens, I can play Reese. Like, this didn't open up a lot of space for anything for me.
Yeah.
Like, unless you wanted to play the Grave Pact.deck Gave deck.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I'm going to be super controlly, and none of my friends, why are you all checking your phones and trading instead of playing Commander?
Yeah. No, Gave is... He's just... I also don't think his power level has stood up, because I've slowly seen, like, I don't see Gave anymore. No one... Like, I don't know if people have just meted him out, but I just don't see Gave decks really getting played and really, pushing the envelope anymore.
Sure. And that's one for being... Of the 10 of these, arguably, this is the easiest one to kind of auto-build and get bored with the quickest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no new exciting, like, what was the last exciting toy Gabe got? Cathar's Crusade?
I bet he got some of the Abzan cards. No, the new Abzan cards from Khans of Tarkir. I bet Abzan Ascension is great with them.
Yeah, it's probably okay. Like, so yeah, I agree. Gabe is my number 5.
Yeah, so, he's just...
Yeah, just... Yep.
He's like a good solid, like, 7 out of 10 action movie. Like, you'll go in, you'll be mildly entertained, it's okay, but this is not something that you can really recommend to your friends.
He is the Expendables 2 of Commander 2013.
Expendables 2 was terrible.
It was just a goofy action movie. It was Sylvester Stallone making an 80s action movie in the 2010s.
No, it was Chuck Norris coming out and making Chuck Norris jokes. That's what it was. Alright, moving on. You already said your number 5 and your piece about him, so I guess we better talk about my number 5. Once again, continuing the theme of putting the brothers right beside each other, my number 5 is Caridor.
Oh, sir, I'm not sure we can continue this conversation.
No! Now, have I said fighting words?
We are way all over the place with this. Go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like Caridor a lot.
I like Caridor a lot, too, actually. There's a reason he's in my top 5. I consider the top 5 to be ones that, like, were cool enough in my books to slide in to, like, top tier for me. I think Caridor's really, really cool concept as a general. I think that his abilities, the theme around him, kind of the ghost fairy king, of the wild is like a thematic thing that goes way back, and I'm glad Magic did something to capture that. I like a lot about him, as long as I'm not playing at a table with him, because my problem with, like, the biggest problem for me in Commander is not people who are playing overpowered decks, or people playing combos, or people playing, like, nasty corner case hate or anything like that. Oh, like, none of that bugs me. But if your turn takes longer than 5 minutes, I want to reach across the table and strangle you. And there's just so much to keep track of in a Caridor deck. It's like, I'm going to play Caridor, then I'm going to play this creature from my graveyard, and I'm going to use it to bring back this creature from my graveyard, and I'm going to resolve these effects on the stack, and then I'm going to play this I'm going to sacrifice both of them, and then I'm going to reanimate this thing. And it's just, the Caridor games, I have played my PlayStation, like, Vita system while waiting for Caridor to finish his damn turn. But I still think, it is a testament to the general that I still think he's pretty cool, so that's why he makes it into the top 5. The other thing is that I like the fact that in those colors, he is kind of a role filler in terms of the reanimator general and stuff like that. However, I think that their dragon already did something very similar. I'm double checking to make sure I'm right.
It's a hit and deal black and 2 to return a creature card from your graveyard to play.
Yeah, from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. So that's why Caridor gets number 10. He wasn't as much of a new role filled. You already had a reanimation general in these colors. Caridor is very different from Temneb, obviously, and I would say he's much better. He does the job a lot more efficiently. But it's not like Caridor was a brand spanking shiny new toy.
Okay, let's move along.
All right, what's your number 5?
My number 5 is Gabe, I said that.
Oh, yes, that's right, you already said that. So who's your number 4?
Okay, my number 4 is Animar.
Okay.
And here's the, like, I like a lot of this, like, Animar on paper looks great. And there's some cool Animar stuff that can happen. Like,
okay.
Using Cloudstone Courier, Curio, using Morph, like, the infinite morphs. Have you ever played against the deck? It's hilarious. It's not necessarily good, but it's hilarious. Especially for the person who's playing it.
Like, okay,
if you want to be here's how to be a horrible person this Christmas. When you're with your family and you have the 3 or 4 of you who all play Magic together, and they go, hey, let's try Commander. Here, play this deck, and hand them the Animar All Morphs deck.
Constantly checking their cards to see which one is which.
Yep, it's hilarious.
I like Animar, that morph deck exclusively because you can play Retichroma in it.
You could, in fact, play Retichroma in it. You can play Ixodron. You can play... The real trick of it is the morph dude plus... there's the whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card.
Oh, yeah.
Primordial Sage. And see if you can get the engine a-going.
Yeah, the choo-choo Animar train.
Yeah.
I just think Animar's too... Like, it just does not work enough for me when you actually play the deck.
Okay. Your number 4, sir.
My number 4 is Ruhan of the Fumori, because I love randomly attacking people. I don't care what Null says. I think Ruhan's super cool. I think he's super fun. I love the fact that when you were talking about how Kali is all one deck or whatever nonsense you were spouting. That is not the case with Ruhan. You take Ruhan, you show him to four different people, you're gonna get four very different decks. And I love that. I love the fact that he's like this chaos engine, especially since Commander, when you're in an arms racy meta, kinda gets to the point where people are really trying to control the chaos a bit, so throwing a little RNG in there always cheers me up. And I like his Captain America color scheme. I think that's a really good three colors for doing silly things. Like you can play cards like, is it Wild Research, the enchantment that lets you tutor?
Yep.
Yeah, Wild Research, there's Sun Forger, there's all sorts of just super fun kind of sideways stuff that no one ever sees coming when you play with Ruhan, and I really like that. And he's imminently recastable. He's a giant goat-headed, he's a goat-headed giant with a club. And he's blind! And it's like someone just took this character and they're just like, okay, I want to make a 4-mana 7/7 general. And let's make the character blind and have horns. And let's make him attack people at random. And let's put him in the jankiest color. He's the Pimp My Ride of generals. Every time you think that you're done with the things, they put a new thing in it!
And I'll agree with all of those things with Ruhan. It is probably, Jeskai is probably one of the best colors for the Sunforger package. Stuff like that are all very true.
Yep. And the biggest thing is that, reason Ruhan's at number 4 is that when I think of Ruhan, I think fun. And that's the quickest way to make it to the top of my list.
Okay. So that was your number 4?
That was my number 4. That, once again, for me, top 5 was where things were getting really, really good. Ruhan isn't as powerful as the top 3 for me, and that's why he didn't make it to top 3. But he is, like, just so much fun. I could, like, I don't play blue, but if I did, I could play a Ruhan deck forever.
Alright, so number 3. Go ahead, Eric.
Did we get to your number 4? Oh, we did. Yours was...
with Animar.
Animar, that's right. My number 3 is the Mimeoplasm. I think the Mimeoplasm is really powerful. I think that unlike Terrador, these colors didn't have a good general for that reanimation strategy. I love the fact that you're Frankensteining two creatures together when you play him. I think that opens up all sorts of possibilities. You can take from your graveyard or your opponent's graveyard. That opens up even more options. He's a T-Rex armed ooze, which is cool. This guy just fires on all cylinders for me. Again, I can't play him because he's got blue in him, but, I love him. And while we do know, like, the poison Mimeoplasm deck or the big things Mimeoplasm deck, I have played against all sorts of Mimeoplasm decks. They are never the exact same. They all run in Tomb and they all run the stuff to put stuff into the graveyard. But the stuff they generally put in the graveyard tends to be a little different, and how much they rely on their opponent's graveyard is a big difference, and I really like the design space that Mimeoplasm opens up.
Fair enough. I think we've officially covered the Mimeoplasm now. Mm-hmm. My number 3 is Riku.
Oh, wow. He made it all the way to number 3. He got the bronze medal for you.
I do. I love me some Riku. And the reason I love it is I love that he's a little value machine. I love that you can build a Riku deck and have it be good without being just Riku-y. Mm-hmm. Like Riku, Tamir's a good set of colors, to where if you want to, again, this is me of the 10, so I'm gonna just keep pretending without saying the word Maelstrom Wanderer.
Gotcha. But,
like for me, and I like the copy effect. I know it's overcosted, I know that he's an instant target and I have to work a little bit to protect him, but I feel like I can do that between green and blue, and... Mm-hmm. And I think the art is cool. The foil of it is amazing.
The foil of Riku?
Yeah.
And I don't like his art as much as I like some of the other art.
Yeah. This is just I like this card a lot in that it's value, it's fun, it makes me happy.
Fair enough.
So I think our number 2s are the same.
Do you think? Oh, yes!
Because I'm pretty sure I know your number 1.
Okay, yeah, no, then it sounds like our number 2s are the same.
Yeah, I think our number 2s are both Goat Lady.
Oh, yes! Zedru made it to number 2 for both of us! Silver medal all the way!
I love this deck.
Okay, so we're not gonna argue about what makes her good or bad, obviously, so let's just take turns singing her praises.
Okay, first
Why
of all,
is Zedru awesome to you?
Yeah, first of all, go ahead and go back about 20 minutes to where I was talking about Kalia and it being a one-trick pony, and go ahead and
yeah.
type and don't post a comment calling me a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Now that we're done with that, I love, because yes, there's only one Zedru deck. There's only the Will of Zedru. But that deck is fun. That deck is awesome. That deck is something no other deck even thinks about doing. It flies in the face of so many options. Like, you're not supposed to give your opponent stuff. That's fundamentally bad.
Uh-huh.
And yet, here's this deck. This little goat lady handing out gifts. And it's the Will of Zedru that you have this tuna fish sandwich.
I love Zedru. I think the fact that... But you nailed it. She is a general that does something that no other general does. And that's really, really awesome. When it's the individual, no one else comes even close to what Zedru does. No one can do anything that even, like... You can't think of something comparable.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, this card is... And admittedly... Yes, it's worker-roundable, and how it wins can be all over the place, but it's such a fun deck, and it does things like, all of a sudden, your commander game fundamentally changes when Zedru starts working.
Yep, it's a totally different game, and Zedru herself was awesome, because people saw it when it was coming out, and they're just like, but is it gonna work? And the coolest thing to me is that Zedru still sees a lot of play. Zedru has passed the test of time, and that's awesome.
Yeah, why is there not a judge foil of this card?
Yeah, there should be. Like, and I will not be surprised if there's a promo product that eventually releases it, but because I don't see Zedru going away anytime soon.
Like, I have judge foil Aloros, but I don't have judge foil Zedru. And this is the kind of deck judges are supposed to like, are supposed to, in air quotes, like.
The other cool thing about Zedru, and it's something you see with my number one card too, is that you can look at a set that is coming, you can look at the spoilers for a new set, and you can point out the cards that someone snuck into the design space because they wanted a new card for their Zedru deck. You can look at cards and be like, okay, well, that's in there because someone wanted to put it in there. Someone on the Magic Design team wanted to put that card in their Zedru deck. That's why that thing exists.
Yeah, Spot the Zedru card has become a game for numerous times. A lot of times it's a bad red enchantment, but...
Mm-hmm. Or yeah. An artifact. Zedru gets a lot of artifacts.
True. But yeah, playing Spot the Zedru card is definitely a fun-filled game.
Mm-hmm. And the deck wins.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. The deck, I've played and lost to Zedru, and I'm still not sure how I lost.
It probably involved Brand and Opalescence.
No, but it wasn't even like, I've played Zedru games where they do it every time. They Jedi mind trick me into killing everyone else while they just feed me all this stuff. And then they somehow have more advantage at the end of the game than I do. And I'm like, what?
It's the Will of Zedru that you kill all my opponents first for me.
Yeah, and I'm the worst for that, because I'm the aggro player. So if you're just like, hey, I'm not going to impede your strategy. I'm like, we're best friends.
Yeah.
We're going to be best friends forever. And then it's the end of the game and you're kicking my butt and I have no idea what happened.
And I'm stuck on no creatures except this steel golem that it was your will for me to have.
Why do I have a Rust Elemental? Who gave me a Rust Elemental?
Or, who's the other one? Here.
Bronze Bombshell.
That one is far from interesting. Like, what's the one that I always love handing people? I love handing aggro decks, Nevermooring somebody's general is really funny, and then handing them the Nevermoore.
Oh, that's the worst. Oh, man. Zedru's just, like, super fun, and still exciting to me. Like, still, every time I look at Zedru, I'm like, you know, I bet I can figure out something new to do with this card, or something to tweak it, or something to, like, do this or that, and I love that.
Okay, so, your number one was my number nine.
Yes.
And my number one was your number six.
Okay, so how about you go first, because there's a less offensive difference between for yours.
Sure. My number one of all these is mostly because I feel bad putting Zedru at number one.
Okay. Like, I wouldn't, but like, okay.
Part of me just because can I really put that at number one? I can't put that at number one. That deck. Nah. My number one on this list is Corridor.
And okay.
I have a lot of love for Corridor in that it definitely is. When you see Corridor, you know what Corridor is going to do. You don't know how he's going to do it. And the other thing is that it is probably the most hate resilient general I've ever incidentally seen.
Like, I don't know about that.
You think, oh, I'll just play my Leyline of the Void and be done with it. Nope. Or, like, Corridor has this amazing resiliency because even if you're just... Even because Corridor, your plan is to play dudes that do good stuff. Mm-hmm. And even if they shut off the Corridor part of that,
yeah,
you still are full of a deck that plays dudes that does good stuff.
Yep, this is true.
And so for me, I'm just like, even if, okay, you shut off my graveyard shenanigans with Corridor, I still have a handful of good creatures.
Mm. Is your Corridor rant over, or are you, happy with your praise?
Yeah, I'm good. Like Corridor's a good, solid card. It does something that is insanely powerful when it's going to hard to stop, and even when it is stopped, the deck isn't stopped. Like,
okay.
Like, for example, if you shut down, say, Mimeoplasm,
mm-hmm.
and you actually are able to shut down Mimeoplasm's deck, the deck is done. For the most part. Same thing with, you know, Tariel, same thing with Gave. Like, if you have their number,
mm-hmm.
the deck is done. Versus if you have Corridor, if you've got Corridor's reanimator number, just, I know exactly what you're doing and have you shut down hard, I still have a deck full of good dudes I can beat you with.
Okay, here's my counter argument to that. I understand what you're saying about the still running good dudes. I still say that you use graveyard hate on Corridor, and it's a nasty blow. But I have found that the most efficient hate for Corridor is to actually treat it as you would a ramp deck, and Corridor just gets the kneecaps taken right out from underneath it. It's just so... Because Corridor is not just about running good dudes, it's about taking these good dudes and doing multiple things in your turn to generate just insane value. You're going to be playing a card from your hand and from your graveyard, and if you take away a Corridor deck's mana base, it's just like, but I don't know what to do anymore. If watching a Corridor deck trying to play out from underneath a Stranglehold is just the most painful thing. It's like watching a puppy limp.
I think you vastly overestimate Stranglehold. Like,
no, but I Stranglehold in itself is not even Mind Sensor is a better example.
And I disagree. Like, I think it depends a lot on your Corridor build, because like, some Corridor decks ramp a lot and will do that. Other ones just go on the, like, my Corridor deck runs the Life from the Loam package. Like, like, I don't necessarily have to hit I don't have to hit ramp cards like my Fertilid, my Cultivate, my Kadama's Reach to get up and rolling. I disagree with, unless you're going to just flat out attack a mana base, like, if you're going to Keldon Firebomber someone, then, yeah, it slows down Corridor, but that slows down everybody.
Yeah, but it has been my experience that Corridor has a lot of trouble dealing with it. If you screw with the Corridor deck's ramp, it tends to, that's just been the Corridor decks I play against, but I find that they don't like that at all.
I disagree, but I understand where you're coming from on a meta choice. All right, you have 3 minutes. I'm going to take a nap, sing you a love song to Kalia, and get out of the way.
I love Kalia! I have a weakness for redheads. The end. No, it's not the end. it's really simple. Kalia, when we looked at Ankle Shanker, and you're like, hey, Eric, I didn't know that you designed the card. Kalia looks like it was a card designed for me. And that's basically the long and short of it. It's like, when I was first getting into EDH, my big thing was trying to cheat out big creatures before my opponents had anything to do about it, because it was a nice, simple, dumb strategy that I could win with Brute Force, and I did it with Braids, and then I did it with Yoira. And I don't mean, like, dumb as to say that Braids and Yoira players are stupid, but it was like, I'm going to beat you with my big, dumb beater. And that was how I won before I got into the intricacies. Now I like control and advantage and tempo and all this other stuff that has kind of evolved in my strategy since playing, and I think Kalia is still really, really well suited to that. I think a good Kalia, my dream Kalia deck has to have a perfect balance of, like, it's got to have control and, like, resource denial, so discard and land destruction, but then you have to balance that against all the dragons and threats and stuff like that, and then you have to balance that against all of the reanimator that I would personally run in a Kalia deck, because I need a backup effect for Kalia, and to me, Kalia is not the most insane fun deck to build. You take these three categories and you slam them together, but it is a deck that I would continue to tweak for forever and be constantly being like, okay, this card needs to come out and this card needs to go in and this card needs to go out and this card needs to go in. And the meta's changed, so I need to have a little bit more control and a little less threats. And, that's awesome for me. And again, I love it when you can spot cards that look like they were printed for a general, and Kalia is the other one where you just look at it and you're just like, wow, this really looks like someone at Wizards wanted this new Kalia card. And that's kind of cool to me. I like the idea that, I like, if you are going to make a long-term investment, especially on a three-color deck where you're going to be getting dual lands and, like, fetch lands and all that stuff. Fetch lands not so much anymore, but dual lands and, like, expensive things like that, and you're going to invest in it, I like the security and the guarantee of knowing that Magic is going to continue to print cards, not just for your colors, but specifically for your deck. That's a big deal to me.
Fair enough. None of what you have said is untrue.
You are not a liar, Eric. You are just wrong and stupid.
I didn't even say you were wrong. Didn't say anything about that stupid part, but you know. Yeah,
okay. I 2 out of 3. That's the best I can hope for. No.
No, and I've already gone on my hatred rant on Kalia. I think that ultimately the deck is boring, but if that's what you enjoy, like to me it is a logical evolution of where you started. I'm gonna hit with my big dumb beaters.
Yep. But it's like, it is a more intricate version of I'm gonna hit with my big dumb beaters. And the other thing is that I love, from like, as a very young, everyone loves dragons, right? Like, as a very young kid, I collected dragon statues that I still have. Like, I really loved dragons as a kid. And then I got into Magic really wanting to play dragons, and it's real hard to make dragons good sometimes. Like, a lot of dragons are too expensive for the effect that they have, and they've gotten better recently about it, but the idea of a deck that made all these super cool big demons, and all these super cool big angels, and these super cool big dragons that I so wanted to play viable was a huge deal for me.
Okay.
So, once again, this is entirely personal. If I was making the list arbitrarily, Kalia would still be very high, because I think that she's incredibly powerful, and she has definitely passed the test of time. She definitely has staying power, people definitely still play her, and she's still competitive. If you were to list, like, the top 10 most powerful EDH generals, and you put Kalia somewhere on the list, people would be hard-pressed to disagree with you. But, yeah, that's just all the reasons I love this particular redhead. And she's available in a normal human holding card-sized foil, which is awesome!
Also true. Well, let's see, how many... They've done Corridor, they've done Riku, they've done...
Mimeoplasm.
Did they do Gabe in Commander's Arsenal?
Nope, I don't think so.
Oh, no, they did Kalia in Commander's Arsenal.
They did Kalia and Mimeoplasm, I think.
Why don't I think you get it? Maybe not. Riku,
well...
Corridor. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's, a lot of, generals have been kind of short-thrifted.
Sure. So let me do this. Let's put this out to the community as a whole.
Okay.
I'd like to know this, and I'd like to hear from, first of all, were you playing I'd like to gather some research data from the people we have done this. First of all, I want to know if you were playing in 2011 when these came out, or did you pick them up later? Because like me, I bought all 5 when they came out, and then kind of slowly built, I think the only one of these I've ever actually built was Zedru. No, I have Zedru Corridor, I'm sorry. Were you playing when these came out, or did you pick them up later? And which ones are you still playing now, or which ones did you actually decide to play? I'm curious to see if people majority of people are like me who were playing in 2011 and picked them up, and when the stars aligned, said I will build it, dug it out of a box, or if people, you know, it was actually 2013 where I discovered the joy of Animar and did that. So I'm curious to hear from the community, which ones were you guys playing? Who did you enjoy? Who did you like? Who did you not like? And I'd be curious to know how many people were at this at the beginning, like, got these out of a sealed product back when they came out versus picked them up later or traded for the generals themselves.
I would like to also put a call out to tell Noel that he's wrong about Kalia.
No, because you know why? You know what's only more annoying than Kalia? Are the people who love Kalia.
Like, oh, thank you, Noel. That makes me feel great.
No. Not you specifically, but, like, do you know what I mean? Like, every commander has their, like, psychotic fans.
There is nothing, forget about Commander, forget about Magic, there is nothing worse than someone trying to convince you to like something that they like. There is nothing worse when you say, I don't like this. If you walk up to someone and you're like, you know, I'm not really a big fan of sushi. What? You don't like sushi? You just haven't had the right sushi. You need to come to this sushi place. Let me show you the joys of sushi so you can enjoy sushi the way I enjoy sushi.
I would rather stick my hand in a toaster than have that conversation.
Yep. Okay, but there is one thing that we do have to go do before we leave and do the call out. There was 5 other generals printed in this product that were new.
Oh, there were.
There were. There were 5 dual color generals, and we aren't going to do a top 5 list, but we do have to lightning round them, because otherwise people are going to call us out for forgetting about their existence.
True, because I totally had until you brought them up. All right.
This is why I'm here. I am the bow tie on your elephant's trunk.
So, all right. In no particular order, Green Black is Skullbriar the Walking Grave. My thoughts on this card is it's kind of a cool aggro-y card, but the day it gets Black Sun Zenith is the day the Skullbriar player bursts into tears.
Yeah, Skullbriar is a really cool, fun, kind of breakneck pace aggro card, but as a general, it's just way too fragile, way too easily disruptible, and it, although it is recastable and can attack on the turn it recasts, it doesn't have enough of a threat present. It doesn't have enough oomph to make that recast really hurt for your opponent.
Black-white is Vishkal, Blood Arbiter, which is, I think, the winner of every runner-up in Orzhov competition you hear.
Like, yep.
It's everybody's second pick.
He is the king of sitting on thrones looking bored and bossy. I don't care what anyone says about Aloro. I like his fancy armor and fancy wings, but in terms of, and in terms of gameplay, he's solid. He's expensive, but solid. But, there's this, a Hearthstone player, actually, who used to play Magic, if I understand it correctly, named Trump, who, very, very internet famous, who has a saying that every deck needs something that is unfair. And Vishkal just is not really unfair enough.
Sure.
Can we talk about red-blue? Because I actually really like Nin the Pain Artist.
I do, too. Actually, I like Nin a lot, too.
Nin is super fun. Fireball your opponent's stuff and give them a bunch of cards to compensate them for their troubles. Fireball your own stuff for infinite advantage. This thing is, a really fun general that you can take in a whole bunch of different directions. Super sideways. And, that same thing as kind of Ruhan. There's a lot of similar cards between the decks. But if you give Nin to 5 different players, you're going to get back 5 different decks, and that's really cool.
Yeah, fireballing your own stuffy doll for great value.
Bassandra.
That's all I want to say about Bassandra, moving on.
And then we continue to Edric.
Okay, in all fairness, that card's terrible. We just keep going, like...
Yeah, the only reason to use Bassandra as a general is that it's the only legendary you own.
Yeah, like, I would take almost any other... There's some old one in Legends I'm sure I'm forgetting or something like that. They'll go, what about that one? But, like, of all the Legends that come to mind...
For Boros. We've got Aurelia, which is better. Jorkadin, which is better.
Zella is better. Arbus Koss is better. Annex and Samidi is better. It beats Razia Boros Archangel.
I don't know if it beats Razia Boros Archangel.
It's gotta be better than Razia.
Razia's... Oh, no. It's not good. They are both not good.
Yeah. Because doesn't she cost, like, 6/2? Like, I don't...
No, she costs 5. She costs 5. That's one thing about her. She's 5 mana, but she's a 3/3 instead of a 4/4, if I remember correctly, which is part of what makes her not good enough. Yeah.
Shatter's a 4/4. Yeah.
Oh, she's a 4/4? I thought she was a 3/3.
And its players can't cast spells during combat, so it shuts off any kind of combat trick you would run as well.
Yep.
And its target creature attacks this turn if able.
Man, that art makes a great wallpaper, though.
It is a cool-looking art.
But, yeah, no, she is...
It can go in your exposed midriff Steam Deck.
Yeah, exactly. It can go in your halter tops belly shirts deck. And you know what? You're sexist if you don't put in halter top belly shirt wearing guys, too. Magic has them. Go dig them out.
I definitely thought about making Vishkal shirtless men, just to make a point.
Is Vishkal shirtless?
Yep.
Vishkal isn't shirtless.
Not Vishkal.
Aloro.
No, Mirko Vosk.
Oh, Mirko Vosk. Okay, cool.
Mirko Vosk men without shirts. Get on that internet. That's what this is going to turn into.
The village people deck is,
you know, what this is
going to
turn into? This is going to turn into a comments page full of people telling me I'm wrong about Kalia and Magic cards with shirtless men on it.
Oh my god. The Mirko Vosk, or the Mirko Vosk village people deck. That's amazing. Macho, macho man. Okay.
Get on that internet.
And the last, there's a reason we saved it for last, Edric. Do either of us have anything positive to say about Edric?
Edric is a cool card. Like, the problem is it's busted. Like,
yep.
It's real easy to get real busted real quick, and I think both of us have been bitten burned by Edric decks before. Edric can be cool in decks. Like, it's a neat kind of source of card advantage, and it's what it's supposed to do and what it does ends up being very different. It's supposed to be a, hey, don't swing at me. It turns into a combo engine.
It's, Edric is the best example of, you blew it up! This is why we can't have nice things! Because they took something that was designed to be relatively harmless and nice and just made it into something... Like, when you first glance at that card, it's about at the power level of the other two mana generals. And then you read it a second time and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, that can't get degenerate at all.
Yep, there's a reason that that deck draws so much hate.
It's very good.
And I think that's it for today.
Yeah, that kind of wraps up our stuff. Again, no recording in 2 weeks. You'll see us back on January 8th. One final thing, if you are going to GP Denver, which is over the New Year's weekend, it's the 2nd through the 4th, come say hi to me. I will be down there. I'll be working it. I don't know my schedule yet. Follow me on Twitter if you want to catch a game. But continuing the trend of, I go to GPs and like to meet fans.
Mm-hmm. And there's at least 1,000 of you out there, so he'll probably find... Chances are he could meet one of you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I am going to probably collapse into unconsciousness very, very soon, so I'm just gonna get out our contact information. If you want to contact both me and Noel, you can do it at CommanderCast in the comments below on this episode. You can do it in the MTGCast comments, or you can do it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rivalsduel. If you just want to talk to me about how pretty Kalia is and how much of Grumpy Gus Noel is, you can get a hold of me at ericbonvie@gmail.com. It's ericbonvie@gmail.com, or at that Bonvie guy on Twitter.
And if you want to tell me how right I am that Kalia is boring, you can contact me at Noel Clausen, NOLECLAUSON, @gmail.com, or on the Twitters at MTGNoel. Also, if you're looking for our RSS feed to get us fed directly to your machine, it's feeds.feedburner.com/rivals.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. I think that's it, and I think I better go because I am in rough shape.
Sounds like the Nyquil is kicking in. Everybody have a Merry Christmas, a wonderful New Year, and we will see you back here in 2015.
Happy holidays, folks.
Yep, thanks for listening.